Chof Gimel Shvat, Friday the 24th of January, Rabbi Shmuel Kimchi, Arba Ovis Nesikin, Bemachshava.
Rabbi, so you should have a couple of sheets in front of you. If you don't, maybe you can pass some from the front. There are a couple in the back, and there are a few on the shtenda. But if you can pass a couple to the front over here, that would be great. Do you want to pass two of them here? Okay, fantastic. Okay, I'd like to just wait 1 second. I'd like to look at something quite exciting today, something a little bit different, something perhaps that we haven't seen before. For this prestigious Olam, I always try to find something which is exciting to me, and if it's exciting and new to me, the likelihood is that it's no chas v'shalom kosher kein. It's a memotzim. So I'd like to start with a little moshel that actually has got nothing to do with anything, but it actually does. And the moshel is given by the Dubna Magid around Av, around the Churban Abayis, of a little boy or a little girl. She comes in to her father's study and she sees a piece of paper lying on the table. So she takes the piece of paper and draws a beautiful picture for her father. On the table comes along little Yanki, the little boy, and he makes a paper airplane out of this picture, and he starts playing with it, and after a couple of minutes of playing with this piece of paper, it goes straight into the fire. So the little girl comes in, says the Dubna Magid, the little girl comes in, and she sees that the beautiful drawing that she made for her father has gone into the fire. So she starts crying, she runs to her mother, and she says, Ima, I drew a beautiful picture for Abba, and look what happened. Little Yanki came in and he threw it into the fire. So the mother rushes in and says, which piece of paper? That piece of paper on the desk, oh my gosh, that piece of paper is a promissory note that we are getting our paycheck for this month. What are we going to eat for the month? This is terrible. What are we going to do? And she is very, very nervous until the father comes in. The father comes in and he says, oh my gosh, that piece of paper that you said was a picture, that was your paper airplane, that you said was the promissory note, that's actually our title deeds, it's our house. Without it, we're vulnerable. We don't have proper ownership on this house. What are we going to do? Says the Dubna Magid, the little boy is crying because his paper airplane has been incinerated. The girl is crying because her drawing has been incinerated. The mother is crying because it's a check that is gone, and the father is crying because it's the house that's gone. Everyone has got a different level of understanding of the tragedy and the enormity of the Churban. So to us, you know, some people just cry, he's saying, Tisha B'Av, just cry for a paper airplane, and some people are crying because the whole house is going up in flames. And the mashal, the reason why I'm bringing the mashal is because you know marvadim asasalah, that there are many, many layers within Torah, of course, pardes, pshat, remez, drash, and sod, that when we look at one item in the Torah, for example, shor shenogach es hapara, we all know on a simple level that it's two oxes goring into each other, who is chayev, mi chayev lemi, eish. You know, we can see it on a very simple level. We can see it possibly on a deeper level. We can understand that it doesn't have to be an ox. It can also be a car. It can be two people fighting over a business, the splitting up of a business, etc., etc. We can understand it on greater levels. But what I'd like to do today is show that it can even be understood on a neshama level. And I'm going to show you different makoros, specifically the Vilna Gaon. And Rabbi Zion Abba Shaul, who show that actually these four, the Arba, Ovos Nezikin, that are in this week's parsha, are in fact understood on a much deeper level as well. I'd like to start off, though, with asking a little bit about our science in high school. High school may have been a number of years away, but I'm sure that we were all learning about the periodic table in chemistry. Or some of us were learning about the periodic table in chemistry. Not all of us attended all the classes in chemistry, but we remember the format of the periodic table. If we wanted to categorize all the elements on the periodic table, they're always discovering new ones, but if we were trying to categorize all of them, so there are different categorizations within science. Some of them I don't really understand, you know, metallic, non-metallic, and all that kind of, I don't understand why that's a be'etzem definition. But if I was to look around the room or look at all elements in the world, I could categorize all elements in the world into three categories, and it's obvious, right? There are solids, there are liquids, and there are gases. And everything is either a solid, or it's a liquid, or it's a gas, except for there's one additional koach in the world, and that is esh, fire. So in fact, there are four. There are solids, there are liquids, there are gases, and there is also esh, there is fire. In reality, if we think about the creation of Adam, of man, within us we also have all these four elements. We are made of bones, there are solids, there is blood and water, that is the liquids. There is vayipach ba'apov nishmas chayim, there is the neshima, b'chol neshima neshima tahalal ka'alaluka, there is the air, and there is heat, energy, there is a temperature that we have, and that is a koach that is neither the solids, nor the liquids, nor the gas, and that is kind of the combination, these four elements we find within us. If we want to plant a seed, where do we plant the seed? In earth. Right? Let me just intro this by saying that Chazal describes solids, liquid, gas, and fire as ofor, which is earth, yeah, mayim, which is liquid, avira, ruach, which is air, and esh, which is fire. Right? In other words, these four things, ofor, ruach, mayim, and esh, these are the four basic elements which the periodic table really boils down to. These are solids, liquids, gas, and fire, obvious. So we have it in our body, but if, let's say, for example, if I wanted to plant a seed in the earth, in the ground, I need earth. What else do I need? I need water, I need the sun, and I need gas, I need carbon dioxide. Is that right? Carbon dioxide, to change it, you know, it takes in carbon dioxide, emits oxygen, or whatever it does. It needs, you cannot strangle the, if you don't have sun, it won't survive. If it don't have water, it won't live. If it's not in earth, it cannot grow. Right? If it doesn't have any of these four elements, it's not going to work. Growth always needs these four elements. And that is the basis of I think today's discussion a little bit. Of course, almost always when Chazal have four, it's Shtayim Shehein Arba. We're all familiar, Shtayim Shehein Arba, the beginning of Shabbos. There are many Shtayim Shehein Arbas, and they're always reminiscent of higher ideas, deeper ideas, right? Shnayim Shehein Arba Bifnim, Shnayim Shehein Arba Bachutz is a great example of this, where the first Mishnah in Shabbos tells us two which are four inside and two which are four outside, the Oni, the Balabais. Those who are familiar, the Mekubalim say that it's Shtayim Shehein Arba Bifnim, Shnayim Shehein Arba Bachutz, it's Yom Hashishi Vayechulu Hashemayim, Yud and Hey of Yom Hashishi is Bachutz, and Vav and Hey Vayechulu Hashemayim is Bifnim, that the first Shabbos, Yetzios Hashabbos, Yud and Hey, which is the first words of Maseches Shabbos, is the Shtayim Shehein Arba Bachutz, which are the two out of the four lettered name of Hashem that is outside Shabbos, and two out of the four lettered name of Hashem that is inside Shabbos. But we see that often we find the Mishnayos often have Shtayim Shehein Arba. These are also Shtayim Shehein Arba because these four elements actually are two opposites. Two opposites. We have, for example, we have Eish and Mayim, right? The word Shomayim, Rashi says in Bereishis, what does the word Shomayim is comprised of? Eish and Mayim. Eish and Mayim are the first set of two in this four. They are the two opposites. and we'll have a look at the different qualities in Eish and Mayim and why they are opposites and how they are opposites, but very simply hot and cold. And that's what a cloud is. A cloud is water that has been evaporated by the sun. It's a combination of the fire and the water. The Ramban in Parshas Noach says a rainbow is sun shining through water. It's a combination of sun and water. The Ramban says it's din and rachamim coming together. It's rachamim bedin. But these two elements of Eish and Mayim come together in Shemayim, and that is one level of Shtayim Shehein Arba. Between the other two, The other set of two is Ruach, which is very light, and Ofer, which is very heavy. Right? Ruach that moves, and Ofer that is stationary. And these two opposites, these two sets of opposites of Eish and Mayim, and Ruach and Ofer, are very much the building blocks of our lives. What I'd like to have a look together is at analyzing each one individually, and then having a look how they reflect in the Midos. We're just going to do this quite briefly. Of course, there is much more to speak about. I recently read a sefer. I was inspired by this because I recently read a sefer by Bilvavi Mishkan Evne, Da'es Nafshecha. He's got a sefer called Da'es Nafshecha, Know Your Soul. And in it, he goes through the different kochos hanefesh on many different levels. And one chapter was about this. I found this very, very interesting, but particularly because it ties in very much with the parsha. Sorry. So, if we were to take the presumption, which we are going to take, that each of these four kochos are kochos within us, just like we physically have the solids, the bones, the liquids, the blood, the breath, which is the air, and the fire, which is the heat, the energy, we presume that also HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them in the nefesh. In our nefesh, we also have these four kochos. And it is that which Reb Chaim Vital, on side two of your sheet, the Shari Kedusha, goes through one by one. And I am not going to necessarily go and follow exactly inside what he is saying. We're gonna kind of reference. When I speak about it, I'm going to reference what he says, because to read the whole thing will take us a long time. But I just wanted to show that it's not my chidushim, and it's not Bilvavi's chidushim, but it's Reb Chaim Vital, obviously b'Mesora, from earlier Doros. The first one let's start with is earth. And the reason I want to do this is because the Medrash, the second box in your sheet over here, which is Bamidbar Rabbah 14:11, shows that Gimel Mine Ola Ve'Echad L'Chatzos K'Neged Arba Tzvoim Shebara Mehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ha'Olam. There are three types of Ola and one type of Chatzos which are mentioned in the Pasuk, which refer to four natural elements that exist in the world. And then he goes on to describe them. Gimel Hem Ha'Elyon Zeh Lemala Mizeh. Three of them are above. And let me describe them, says the Medrash Rabbah. The earth is the most heavy one that we have. We have the so'ir, which is the chatos, that is reminiscent, connected to earth. Hamayim lemala min ha'avir. Water is on earth. The ha'avir shemimenu notzar haruach lemala min ha'mayim, and the air is above the water. The ha'esh lemala min ha'avir, sha'esh kala mikulam. Right, and then is the sun. Very, very simply, the Medrash is telling us there are four natures, and they actually work in concentric circles. You've got the offer, you've got earth, which is heavy. On that is the water. Roka ha'oretz al ha. What is roka ha'oretz al ha'mayim? Exactly right. That the mayim is tzaf on the water. But you have over here the earth, and you have on it the water. Above that you have the air, and above that you have the sun. These four tzvoim that we have in us also exist in the world. So let's start with earth. Earth, what is earth? Earth, what is a natural koach of earth, and how do we think that it's going to reflect in us, that it's going to be part of us in our nefesh? The first thing that we know about earth is that it's heavy, right? What else do we know about? What else, therefore, would be a quality of earth? Pardon? Doesn't do anything. It's inert, right? It's that, what? Right. It grows things. Very good. Right. Holy dove hitzmicha. Right. But nonetheless, it is stable. Pardon? Makes you dirty, right? But it is stable. It's structured. It is something which is very much yatziv. It is solid. So the question is, what would that mean in my nefesh, and what could be a negative of that? Some people are earthy people. What does it mean that they are earthy people? Their predominant characteristic, pardon? They are solid people, 100%. They're solid. They are
obstinate.
Could be obstinate. Yeah. They don't move much, right? They don't move, as opposed to the wind, right? They are structured. They are yekas, right? They have systems. Yekas is not a good terminology over here. I come from yekish stock. My grandfather is Frankfurt on mine, but it's that is what it is. There is structure. There is direction. There is hasmada. There is tzmidus, right? No quarters given. It is absolutely solid, and that is what it is. It gives kium. You're right. It does bring growth out of it. But what is the negative of it? Have a look at the Reb Chaim Vital over here. Yesod ha'afar, bang in the middle of Yashar and Kedusha. Yesod ha'afar, mimenu midas ha'atzvus b'chol pratov. Atzlus, which is sadness, v'toldo seho, v'hu ha'atzlus l'kayim ha'torah v'ha'mitzvos mipnei etzvono. Because of atzlus, sadness, comes atzlus, laziness. Sadness and laziness is an overabundance of earth. Afar, an overabundance of gravitational pull on us is going to mean that we become atzevim atzlus. And we're not able to do much. Let's have a look at the next one. Let's have a look at water. What is the primary, if I was to ask you, what is the primary koach of water? Pardon? It flows. What does it do in the world? What can we... Sustains, brings life, vitality. 100%. That water's natural segula, natural koach, segula in the terms of the Rishonim used it, not... Well, nowadays, but the natural koach of water is vitality and sustaining, etc. Right? Gimel yomim bli mayim. Mayim is Torah, so it's Eish Torah. So interesting, both mayim and Eish are connected to Torah. But over here, the water is vitality, is life. It gives life to everything. What is what do we mean by life? Have a look at the Reb Chaim Vital over here. Does he write? Yesod ha'mayim utavas hata'anugim, ki ha'mayim matzmichim kol minei ta'anug. Any sense of enjoyment gives us vitality. We cannot do anything unless there is something which is driving us to do it. And that drive is the drive of Tanug. It can be the drive of Eish sometimes, if it's the Ruchnius, if it's something which is to break a mold that we're in. We'll get to that soon. But really, water is Tanugim. So that can end up having negative repercussions, right? You can have an overabundance of Mayim, you can drown, quote unquote, in Tanugim and totally lose the plot and live your life in Mayim. And if people are primarily moved by Tanugim, by physical enjoyment, it's dangerous that they can just totally live their life in Tanug and not do anything. It's very much connected in Kabbalah to the term din. It's not really Kabbalah, I'd say in Machshava. Not din, chesed. Midas ha-chesed is overflowing the boundaries. It is, you know, the famous minag to drop 3 drops of water into the wine. Yeah, we know that is to be mamtik the din with chesed. And as we put a bit of chesed water into the red wine, which is the din, that's what it's meant to be doing. And that chesed really is an overflowing, a breaking of the boundaries. The Ramban says in one of the Arayas, right? One's not allowed to be with one's sister. Says the pasuk chesed he. It is a chesed. Says the Ramban. What does it mean? Chesed he. Chesed, because you're poreis, you're kenafav on something which you shouldn't. You are preventing. What you're doing is you're overextending your own your own bias to include someone that it shouldn't, and thereby you are preventing her from creating her own bias, but in fact you are protecting her. You're doing something good, but it's overabundance. The whole concept of chassidus, chassid, is lifnei mishuras hadin. That's what it means in Gemara, and also the way that they live, right? You know, lo takifu peas rosh chaso, they never. And if tznius, so they wear a longer rekel. And if you've got a, you know, you're supposed to cover your head, so then they do a quadruple head covering. You know, it's well, what it is just going lifnim mishuras hadin. It is a beautiful thing. So, but chesed gone wrong is ultimately understood as taiva. That is number two, and we'll If we get time to, we'll have a look at how they interact. But have a look. The third one would be wind. What is wind? What is the primary koch of wind? It's movement. The primary koch of wind is movement. I was to ask you, why does the wind move? So you could give me a scientific answer. But in fact, that's what the wind is. Why is the sun hot? Or why is fire hot? Because that is the natural koach of fire. The wind moving, wind is movement. What does movement mean to us? Like we rock a baby, you know, because there's a natural koach of movement in a person. Then there's a resonation that resonates within the baby, quietens the baby down. But but what is a positive koach of movement? It is to get things done in the world. It's to actually do things, to get things moving, to get things happening. That is the koach of wind, a very powerful koach of wind. But it can have a negative koach, and that's what I want to do my whole life. You know, I'm just answering texts and emails, and I'm just going from thing to thing to thing to thing, and I totally lose myself in the movement. Then I don't have any sense of gravitas. I don't have any sense of self. I don't have the offer. What happens if you have a hurricane? A hurricane is the interaction between these two opposites of the wind and the offer. The wind comes and totally destroys any solid. It destroys the offer. That is a negative interaction between the wind and offer. What's a positive interaction between wind and offer? Let's say someone is very depressed, lying in bed. What's the first thing you tell them to do? Move. Please, I really need your help. Come and meet me. Yeah, that's the first thing you get. You get them to move. Why? Because the opposite of atzvus, of offer, is ruach, is movement. These are the two opposites. You will break the atzvus by getting them to move, and that's in a sense why these two, the offer and the ruach, are opposites. I'm running out of time over here. I'm trying to get through this quick. It's not going to be easy. What is the primary force of fire? What's the primary source What's the primary koach energy in fire? Destruction. That's exactly right. It destroys. Have a look at the pasuk. You're right. Everything is created by fire. But fire, but etzem is destruction. Look at the pasuk. This week's parasha at the bottom of page one. Kiseitze eish umotza kotzim. Right. What is it doing? It's eating the kotzim. And what is it doing? The intention of... Oh, thank you so much. So, the intention of the fire, the purpose of the fire, you lit the fire to do what? Why did Hashem give us this koach hamechale, the koach which destroys? To destroy the kotzim. Kotzim dardar tatzmiach lach. To destroy the ra. That's what it is, to fight for justice. The passion to destroy anything that is not in line with Ratzon Hashem.
Autumn destroys. And your threat.
Thank you very much. Go ahead. It's good. Overabundance of mind, it's excellent. Okay. But Kiseitze eish umotza kotzim. But what happens then? You try and burn the kotzim. You try and burn the negative. And because we have an irbuvio of tov and ra, and we don't have heat-seeking missiles, we often destroy the tov as well. We can destroy the tov as well. The koach of Eish is to destroy the ra, but sometimes what it does is it destroys the godish, the koma, the soda, which are positive, and then shalom yishalom amavirus haba'era. The fire is Right. So why is that the fire opposites to water? In what sense are fire and water opposites? In what way can we show that they are opposites? Let's say I have a chavruso, I have a relationship with someone that's very enjoyable. It's geschmack. We sit all day and we schmooze all day. Yeah? So that is loads of tanug. There's tremendous mayim there. There's great mayim, but how much eish is there? I need the koach of eish to destroy something which is not good for me. Fire is always going upwards and water is always going to the lowest point, right? The fire is there for me to reconnect my neshama with the Rabbanu Shel Olam. So what happens if I'm schmoozing all day with my chavruso, this crowd of friends is really not good for me. What do I have to do? I have to use the koach of eish to destroy that chavrusa, the relationship, in order for me to build. In other words, the koach of eish is a destructive koach, but you use the destructive koach to destroy what is not good for my spiritual growth. And that then allows me to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there is, often what happens is that we are stuck within a specific frame, mind frame or life. And in order to get beyond that, you have to destroy the current situation. You know, some people are single and they quite enjoy being single. You have you're earning, you're living, you're happy, you've got everything that you actually need. But is it really healthy for you in the long run to be single? Not. What do you have to do? Something. You have to destroy that level of comfort, either in the mind or in reality, of being single. Feel the vacuum, and then get married. In other words, what you need to do is you need to use the eish, connect the mind. You need to use the eish to destroy the mind. Let's say I am. I'm not going to give examples, but we've only got 3 minutes left. If a commander who is killed, loads of people, let's say for example you're a commander of a crack unit that had to go into Gaza to do what it needed to do, so what's going to end up happening, that koach of eish is going to go inside your nefesh and is going to be negative for you. It's going to start feeding itself into the good relationships that you have. You're going to start zapping loads of people, what do you have to do? You have to then provide for, you have to feed, you have to then give for the same number of people that you killed or had to destroy. You then have to create and provide for, and that is using the mayim keneged the eish. If you have a child and he wants and you say no, that's din, that's fire. You have to also sometimes say yes in order for you not to be a no person. There are loads of people who can just be no people, and there are loads of people who can just be yes people. The chap is to have the knowledge of the shomayim, the eish and mayim, the balance to have the two. Okay, let's for the last minute that we have. Oh my gosh, let's have a look over here at your second sheet. Now the kaftar of a ferach, the back of the new super duper gemaras, the chavrusa gemaras. At the back, they've got a section kaftar of a ferach which takes all svarim and machshava which reflect the gemara. So of course, arba avos nezikin hein ashar habar hamava and hever. In this week's parsha, you have it on your sheet. The first one is shar, an animal. The second one is the bar, the pit. The third one is the mave, there's the man who's eating. The third one is the hever, the fire. So let's have a look over here. The Or LeZion, yeah, who's really quoting, well, he's really explaining in a way the Vilna Gaon, which is at length, but it's hard to read. So in the 2 minutes that we have left, let's have a look. The second last source on the page. Look at the second line. He's going to show how each of them are, in fact, one. Hashar keneged ha-taiva. The shar is representative of the taiva. Kelcho hashar asyera kasada. Yeah. Habar is dover amok. The bar is something which is amok, is deep. The rom is al shiflus. That's the atzvus. That's the offer. The mave, which is the machlokis in the Gemara, whether it's Adam or Shane, but the mave, let's say it's an Adam, that is the ruach memalara, that is the speech, and the hever is the eish, is the fire. These four elements, the shor is taiva, is enjoyment, is tanug, is mayim. The second one is the bar, is made of earth, it is shiflus, it is low, that is the afar. The ruach is the ruach memalara, is the speaking, the man, the mave. And the hever is esh, is fire. And these four, what are arba others, nezikin, hein, lo re'izeh, ke re'izeh? What is the pshat? According, on a deeper level, the pshat is, there are four major sources of kochos and nefesh midos that can be used lekan or lekan. They can be mazikin, lo re'izeh, ke re'izeh. Neither of them have got the same koach as each other. Each of them are the shmiras on alecha, it is your job to look after it. I'm just going to end off the last 30 seconds with this last little bit, which is if you read it on yourself, Rabbi Yonasan Ivershit says there are four major averis that Klal Yisrael did. Shor is the Egel HaZahav. Bar is Mechiras Yosef into the bar. Maveh is Adam, is Chet Adam HaRishon. And he says the last one, I'm not sure how, and you're going to read it and come back to me. The Meraglim, the Chet HaMeraglim is Hever. He says, Akosha Mikulam, I'm not quite sure, it's the last four lines over here on the page, but if you can figure it out, please do come back to me, but it would be very, very interesting to see whether or not these different averis actually are a function of these four elements in these kochos and nefesh.